It's The Brush back on WSMIRadio.com with Jenkins and Kay Hirsch, David Jenkins, Kyle Hirschman along with you today. It's Eclipse Day. If you had the chance, it's passed by now, but hopefully you were able to go and watch it. If you'd missed it, you have another chance in about 7 years, depending on where you are, I guess.
It'll be here in no time.
Yeah. Hopefully you're still with us by then. We'll see. Kind of a gloomy way to start the
show. Well, you know, that's all right.
Hey, follow us on Twitter, by the way, at BrushbackWSMI. We're always trying to build up that audience. Like us on Facebook. You can find us on those two sites. You can read Kyle on the Journal News. Find me on WSMI Radio. Yeah, pretty fun stuff. We're a couple weeks into the sports season, I guess you could say, for high school. Is that correct?
Yeah, everything's really getting started going this week. Is the first week that we'll see some volleyball going on, obviously.
Soccer start today?
Soccer does start today. So Hillsboro will be at North Mac. Lincolnwood plays Taylorville. And I believe Litchfield also plays, but I don't remember exactly who they play. But yeah, should be a fun year. A lot of golf going on, a lot of really good golf in Montgomery County.
We mentioned the start during the last episode. We mentioned the start that the Hillsboro boys golf team was off to, though. They're going to be pretty good this year.
And they won again on Saturday against some pretty good competition. They won the Macomb Gary Saunders invite at Macomb Country Club with a 314. Just really playing well so far this season, but beat some teams from the Quad Cities, beat Rock Island Alleman, then Macomb, Davenport, school from Davenport. So really, you know, they, like I said, they have a strong group. Alex White shot a 76, four over par to take second overall, and the top Hillsboro finisher, Dane Huber and Alex Eichhoff, both shot 77s. Alex Eichhoff, you kind of expect, you know, you knew he was going to have a really good season. He's put in a lot of time in practice. Dane Huber was really their fifth or sixth man most of the time last year, and has really stepped up. He's been in the top 10 in two of the three tournaments and has been playing really well. So, you know, really good start to the season for him too. So,
sure. And Hillsboro, probably the class in as far as golf teams go in the area, class of the area, but there's some really good individual golfers.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, and team-wise, even right now, you know, Lincolnwood's 5-0. They beat they picked up another win at Greenville against them and Ramsey last week. You know, and they're just a solid, consistent team. Litchfield also has got some pretty good golfers, and Alex Bishop and Tyler Snead in particular. And Blake Ewing had a really good tournament for them to start the year at East Alton Wood River. So, you know, right now, all the Montgomery County boys golf teams are undefeated. You know, wow. Litchfield, I mean, granted, still pretty small sample size. and that'll come to an end for some of them because Litchfield and Hillsboro play on Tuesday against Williamsville in at the Litchfield Country Club. So,
do they ever have any kind of like county meet, not meet, county match where all three or four teams?
Occasionally they'll have. I know in the past they've had at Indian Springs. There's a possibility that they'll have some teams. It's nothing like official or anything like that. But yeah, it's been pretty competitive. Like I said, I think they've done it at Indian Springs in the last few years. So, but yeah, Litchfield and Hillsboro, will boys and girls, will both be playing each other on Tuesday. So, yeah.
And obviously, the football season kicks off this weekend. We've got quite a few good matchups with the area. I know over at the Journal, you started your prep pick'em for this week. So
yeah, excited about that. Another year. You can win yourself a grilling apron.
I saw that.
So yeah. So we tried to change it up, try to give out some different stuff. Last year was umbrellas.
I have an umbrella. I won once last year. Yeah. I won once the year before. It was a cooler bag is what it was.
Yeah, we got a cooler. So yeah, nice mix of your Journal News swag.
Absolutely.
I hope to
get a grilling apron.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, you've done pretty well in the past, so I think that's
actually, I think my that's wife has done better than me.
That has, I'm glad to see the rivalry still going on. With that. So I usually don't do particularly well, but you know,
it's kind of like the NCAA tournament, I think, where you don't necessarily have to be great.
Yeah.
Or really know what you're talking about. I mean, because chance sometimes plays a role.
Well, I'm a homer is part of it too. You know, I'm going to pick Litchfield, Hillsboro, and Nokomis each week. Last year, I'm not even sure if I really played that much.
Yeah.
Just because there's a little bit. It takes a little bit of work to do that. Do it. I'm still doing it on spreadsheets. So, but it's free to enter. A lot of fun. Just email in your picks for the five South Central Conference games plus the Nokomis game to me at jnsports@consolidated.net.
Right, and just to give a preview of those, the choices are Carlinville plays Hillsboro, Staunton plays Litchfield, Pena plays Greenville, Southwestern plays Roxana, Vandalia and Gillespie face off, and then Nokomis faces Farmer City Blue Ridge. And I don't know where those games are specifically. I know Litchfield is at Staunton, Carlinville is at Hillsboro. The rest of it, I don't know.
So yeah.
You can look that up if you want. If you're that interested in it. If you think it makes that much of a difference.
And then I don't think it. Well, I mean, it might.
Yeah.
But I think that Greenville-Pena game is going to be a good one. I think Pena's got a lot of potential to be a very good team this year and toward the top of the conference. Greenville, just based on history and their abilities, you know, they're always an extremely good team too.
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit in our pre-football preview show. Carlinville, Vandalia, and Pena seem to be the top of the conference right now going in the preseason picks. And then you've got probably Greenville, Hillsboro in that next level, and then everyone else down below that. Of course, that's preseason, and that doesn't mean anything. It could completely change by this weekend,
no,
as a matter of fact.
Yeah, and like you said, I mean, with the new schedule coming out too, I think that'll make for some interesting matchups.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, just looking up and down the schedule, like Carlinville Hillsboro, I think will be a fun game.
Nice week one matchup too.
Yeah, I got to watch a little bit of their scrimmage and a little bit of Litchfield scrimmage this weekend.
Did you see the Greenville College at all when you were there?
I just watched them warm up.
Okay.
We had a little one that was needing fed, so we headed home. But, you know, it was nice. I heard Caleb Jackson had a nice touchdown run. Former Hillsboro High School football player, now playing for Greenville College.
He had plenty of touchdown runs on that field.
Yeah, so it worked out pretty well for him. And they had a really nice crowd, a lot of enthusiasm. You know, it was just kind of a different atmosphere with the college being there. It was fun just to watch them, you know, warm up and kind of psych themselves up, and that was a fun aspect, and I hope the high school kids got some enthusiasm out of that, you
sure.
know. So I think it was a neat event, and Coach Duff and them did a really good job.
Wasn't the JFL there as well?
Yeah, JFL played beforehand, so like I said, Toppers past, present, future.
Right.
There, so.
Well, I think this weekend for Hillsboro, Carlinville at Hillsboro, I think the JV game is going to be going on before the varsity game begins.
Yeah, I believe that's how Carlinville has done it in the past, which is probably a good idea.
Yeah.
They, you know, it's kind of one stop shopping, so they can knock that out. I believe it's at 5.
5 o'clock.
So
okay.
I think that's usually what time they start. So
the varsity will probably kick off around 7 o'clock.
Yeah,
roughly.
I think that's why they do it. They usually the varsity. I mean, they kind of keep it at 7. So,
yeah.
But yeah, Payne is at Greenville. That'll be a tough match. Southwestern at Roxana.
Yeah.
And Roxana has potential to be, or you know.
I heard their stud running back wasn't going out, Jordan Hawkins.
Yeah, he didn't. You know, I didn't get a chance to see him. He didn't play the game that I was. Whenever they played Litchfield last year,
yeah.
So.
He's like 6'2", 6'3", 220 pounds.
Yeah.
Big guy for running back.
Yeah, and I remember him his sophomore year, but you know.
Yeah.
you know,
I heard he didn't go out.
You can't worry about the kids that don't go out.
That's right.
You know, so you can only go with the ones you got. And then Vandalia at Gillespie and Nokomis at Farmer City. So, you know, I think Nokomis will be interesting. They lost some guys from last year's team, but they return Ben Marley, who was mm-hmm. last year's defensive player of the year in the Prairie State. They return Drew Watson, who played some quarterback for them. They'll have some – unfortunately, Connor Engelman's out due to injury.
Yeah.
Like I said, they'll have some good players coming back. So
well, and I think Farmer City's a winnable game for them too, because they're only in their second year of existence. That program is.
Yeah,
it was confirmed on Saturday.
Yeah, so I mean, like I said, not a whole lot. Not a whole lot to lose there. So, yeah. You know, should be a good opportunity for them to start out the season on a good foot. Even if you don't get a win, you want to at least. You know, have some things to build on and some things to look back on whenever you start week two.
Well, it's definitely a different matchup than Monticello, and that's who they've opened against for the past few years.
So. Yeah, Monticello's a bit of a different animal. So,
yeah.
And I believe they're going to play Central A&M in a couple of years. So adding them to their schedule.
Yeah,
so.
They got St. Teresa next week, too, mm-hmm. Decatur St. Teresa, so that'll be tough.
Yeah, so... I remember seeing Decatur St. Teresa play, I believe it was Auburn, a few years ago. So, several years ago now. I think Sean Dunning was on the team. So, but, you know, St. Teresa's had some good teams. So, but, yeah, like I said, football season's coming up. Soccer season's starting this week on Saturday they have the Carnival Kickoff Classic,
right.
Which should have some – pretty competitive games in there too, so I'm really looking forward to that, and of course the team golf outing too that I'll be participating in, so see if I can beat my last year's record of not using my shot at all. So
and then you've got a 5K coming up in a couple weeks too.
You've
reached a goal.
Hopefully I'm just going to be high-fiving people and slapping hands and that kind of stuff, but we're probably close to 300 participants overall registered. We have virtual runners, which basically means they pay their dues and we send them a shirt and they do it wherever they're at. But we have all 50 states. We have 5 countries, at least. United States, Canada, England. Japan, 6 countries, Thailand, and Australia.
Okay.
So
that's cool.
One of the other INAD families, infantile neuroaxonal dystrophy, if you've never heard me talk about it before. His son has it, and the dad is running it in Australia. Yeah. So
you've almost got all the continents covered too.
Yeah, we did pretty good.
South America and Antarctica, I think, would be the only ones missing.
Yeah, and I think we might have had South America last year or 2 years ago, whenever we did it,
or Africa.
I can't remember.
Yeah, too.
Yeah, Africa. I know we had Africa 2 years ago. So, and you know, we still got a few weeks to go, so we might get one of those places too, but it's just a really good opportunity to raise some awareness for the disease that my daughter has.
Yeah.
And you can find out more information on that at agracefieldjourney.com or on the Gracefield Journey Facebook page.
It's Saturday, September 2nd, right?
That's correct. Yeah. In Hillsboro. Beautiful Hillsboro. Start out at near the high school, end up near the high school. So We're really excited about it.
Courtney, my wife, and I are, I believe we're signed up to participate, so we'll be there.
Yeah, I'd say we always appreciate your guys' support, too.
Sure.
So, should be a sea of purple. You should be right at home, you know. So,
yeah, I've seen plenty of that in my life.
Yeah, so, but like I said, it should be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I know a couple teams are doing it. Hillsboro's volleyball team is doing it. Lincolnwood soccer team did it 2 years ago. I'm not sure if they'll be doing it this year or not. I haven't looked at their schedule, but we've gotten a lot of support from those schools. So
sure. I want to talk about rarities in sports because of the eclipse today.
Sure.
Because it's so rare, even though it's supposed to happen again in 7 years, it's still pretty rare. A solar eclipse, that is. We've had lunar eclipses. Those don't seem to be as fun to watch as solar eclipse.
I'm not sure that solar eclipse was that much fun. You know,
it was okay. Fun may be the wrong word to use. Fun is the wrong word to use.
It was, you know what? It was interesting. It was. You know, and I was.
You were a negative Nancy.
I'm tired of people talking about it, and you know, and saying, "Don't stare up at the sun." That's great advice, just period, folks. just don't stare up at the sun, regardless of whether there's an eclipse or not an eclipse. And
I did look up at the sun without the glasses, but accidentally, because I was like taking them off. I took them off before I was able to.
May God have mercy on your soul.
Yeah, well, I won't be able to see in a few days. We'll see. Who knows how quick those effects
think
come.
That's the thing. You know, it's no more damaging than looking up at the sun regularly.
That's right.
It's just that, you know, it's slightly darker out, so you can do it for a longer amount of time. Right. So
I don't think you can. I looked at it and couldn't do it.
No. Yeah, and you're not that. That's nature's way of telling you not to be a moron, you know.
Well,
it's like I said, it's all well and good.
It didn't work because what I did was still pretty moronic. So, yeah.
I think looking at it's not going to kill you. I think staring at it for.
I don't think it'll kill you, but it'll hurt.
Make you go blind.
Yeah.
If you glance at the sun, it's not going to harm you. It's whenever you stare at it for a prolonged amount of time.
Yeah, that should just be common sense.
You would think so.
No matter the
occasion. Then again, for the last month, we've been received that.
This is true.
Anyway.
This is true. Although, if you're in the complete path of totality, are you able to look at it without glasses?
I don't know.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to anyway.
I'm just glad it's over with.
Yeah. I tell you.
The apocalypse is done.
I don't even want to say anything more after that. That's great.
Apocalypse.
Did you come up with that?
I did not. Okay. No. It's been out there.
First time I've heard it.
So.
It shows how sheltered I am. Rarities in sports because of the rare event known as the solar eclipse. Some fun things, I guess, that have happened. Not fun depending on who you are, who you're a fan of. One thing that is rare is the Triple Crown that we don't get to see very often in baseball for hitters.
Mm-hmm.
Because pitching, it seems like it happens a lot more often. Miguel Cabrera's Triple Crown back in 2012 was pretty cool to see because, like I said, hitters, you don't see it very often. In fact, 1967 was the last time that happened. It was Carl Yastrzemski for the Red Sox.
Yeah, it's and you know you don't see the people with, well, and there's also less of a focus on certain stat categories now. So
well, because home runs are such a big part of today's game, yes, and that's part of the Triple Crown. But those who hit for power now don't really hit for a good average.
Not always, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, for someone to do that, and it's been 5 years since that happened, so. Mm-hmm. The last National League one was 34, Ducky Medwick for the Cardinals.
Yeah, so.
It has happened in the National League for a long time.
Yeah.
Can't do the math. 80 years, I guess. Yeah. 37, 80 years exactly. Maybe I can do the math.
Absolutely.
Nobody ever accused me of being a smart man.
Another baseball one. Yeah. One of my favorites is John Vandermeer.
Right, the two no-hitters, right?
Yeah, back-to-back no-hitters in 1938, so as the only person to do that. So that's a pretty cool one, too.
Not only is that rare, that is, I think, widely considered as a never-will-happen-again.
Yeah.
Like, rare can mean it happens once every however many years. That one, it's not going to happen again.
Yeah, it's, you know, you just don't see that many no-hitters now, you know. Yeah. And but, like I said, pretty cool event. You know, like I said, definitely rare. You know, it's not impossible to not happen again because for it to be impossible, you'd have to, you know, say, okay, every game starts with one hit. You can go up with a giant bat.
Right. Well, so. Michael Wacha back in 2013 for the Cardinals was one out away from a no-hitter. And he gave up a hit with one out left. And then I think his next start was his first start in the playoffs against Pittsburgh. And he threw 7 no-hit innings in that one. So, I mean, while he didn't throw back-to-back no-hitters, he was fairly close.
Yeah, I would say that's quite a few no-hit innings.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, anyway.
Yeah, probably not going to happen, but maybe, and it is rare. Another one for college football fans, Archie Griffin winning the Heisman Trophy twice. That's never happened other than that occasion.
Yeah, probably not going to happen again, you know.
It seems like voters now like to give new guys the chance.
Yeah. And even, you know, you see some guys that like are underclassmen that come back for their next year, and they're not always among the favorites for the following year. So,
well, it wasn't until, gosh, like 6-7 years ago, maybe, that the first Tim Tebow was the first sophomore, I believe, to ever win it. And I think he had a better year. Either his junior or senior season was better than a sophomore season, and he didn't win it. So, yeah.
Yeah. Like you said, I think they want to give new guys a chance. So.
Right. Another one going undefeated in an NFL season, going undefeated in professional sports in general is really hard. NFL is the most likely because it's the shortest amount of games. Miami Dolphins did it, and gosh, I don't know. I don't remember what year it was.
I'm not either. It might have been like 72.
Sometime in the 70s, and every time a team flirts with it, Mercury Morris comes out of hiding and becomes relevant again until that team loses. And then he pops his champagne and then goes back into hiding until the next season.
Yeah, it was 1972. So.
How about that?
Yeah.
Props to you.
Yeah.
Does that drive you crazy, Mercury Morris, whenever?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't care.
Okay.
Not a whole lot drives me crazy whenever it comes to sports. Yeah, I like joy whenever it comes to sports.
I like joy too, but it's... Maybe it doesn't drive me crazy, but it just strikes me as odd that you never hear about Mercury Morris, and he was the Dolphins running back during that season, until a team flirts with going undefeated. Then they always go to him.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he's celebrating when that team loses. And
they also used to go to Nick Bonacotti, but he might have passed away.
I don't know who that is. Obviously, he was on that team.
If I'm not mistaken, I think it was Nick Bonacotti.
Truthfully, I don't know a lot of players/coaches on that team.
He was a linebacker.
Okay.
Larry Zonka was on that team.
Okay, I do know Larry Zonka. Bob Greasy, I believe, was the quarterback. Is that right?
Yeah.
Don Shula was the head coach.
Like I said, Bonacotti's still alive. Okay. Good for him. Good for you, Nick.
Maybe he just got tired of talking about it.
I'm thinking he's got some health issues. But, yeah, like I said, Larry Zonka, Paul Warfield, Jim Langer, Larry Little, both Hall of Fame members.
Yeah.
So, had 9 players selected to the Pro Bowl.
Seems like the extent of my knowledge of that team is Mercury Morris, Bob Greasy, Larry Zonka, and Don Shula.
Well, here's the wonderful thing. On August 20th, 2013, 4 decades after their accomplishment, President Barack Obama hosted the 1972 Dolphins, noting they never got their White House.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool.
Yeah, so good for them. So, you know.
Wonder why they never got their visit.
Huh?
Wonder why they never got their visit. I don't know.
Science. The solar eclipse was happening, and they were all blinded.
Perhaps. But yeah, kudos. Kudos, President Obama, for inviting them.
Sure. So, yeah. Bunch of old guys.
Well,
well-deserved.
Who knows if they've ever been to the White House, if they had ever been to the White House. So.
Absolutely.
You've been to the White House?
Yes.
Yeah, I have too. Went on a tour. Didn't see the president, obviously, but...
I didn't actually go inside. I just stayed outside.
Oh, did you?
And got tackled by Secret Service agents.
See, we were on a trip, a band trip, when I was in high school. Every 4 years, we would go on a band trip. So you went once while you were in high school.
Did they let you bring your French horn in?
No. I don't think so. I played the baritone.
Sure.
So,
whatever you got to tell yourself. Yeah, okay. There's no shame in it.
Do you have a problem with the French horn?
No. I love French horn.
Do you?
I love France. Their potatoes are delicious.
I think they are. They absolutely are. No, I did not bring my instrument inside. It was... I don't remember a lot from the White House tour, to be honest with you.
It's still up.
Okay.
But I don't know that for certain.
It might be considered a landmark.
Mm. Or landfill.
Or landfill. Washington, D.C. is just considered a landmark in general, or a landfill.
Absolutely.
Take your pick.
Both.
Yes. Another rare event that happened. It's not as serious. It happened in a spring training game years ago. Randy Johnson was pitching, and he hit a poor bird that flew in the path of one of his fastballs. And, man, probably being incredibly difficult to have
whenever
that happen again.
Whenever you think of the odds of that happening, you know, I mean, the fact that a bird and a ball going out, you know, over 100 miles an hour would converge at the exact same point at the exact same time is pretty crazy. So I believe Jeff Kent was batting at the time, picked up the bird. So
I don't. The bird died, right? I mean, there's no way.
Yeah.
The thing lives.
Yeah, the bird died.
Like, yeah, there's no way. You could live through that.
The bird exploded. Yeah. Basically, so.
Well, you don't. You know, you see the replay, and unless you watch it in slow motion, you really don't even see the bird coming. It's like all of a sudden you see a fastball,
and then a bunch of feathers.
Yeah, poof of feathers, and man.
Yeah.
It is a rare occasion, although.
How often have you watched it in slow motion? Because that may tell a little bit about you personally.
No, like every time they show that highlight at all, they'll show it in slow motion, like right after. And you can see the bird in slow motion.
Sure. You're not answering the question. How many times have you watched this in slow motion?
A couple handfuls? I don't know. Anytime they show the video, I'll watch it in slow motion. Like, I don't actively look for it in slow motion.
Sure. For those of you that would like, from PETA, that would like to contact David, you can get him here at WSMI.
I didn't throw the baseball.
Well, I know. I'm sure he didn't mean to either, so.
Well, he meant to throw a ball. I just didn't mean to hit the bird.
That's what I meant. Yes.
Okay. Well, although it's a rare occasion, it has happened here in Illinois that a pitcher hit a bird with a baseball. Litchfield PE teacher and former football coach Mark Elvers, his son, I think it was his son Ryan, was up at pitching for Sacred Heart Griffin, and this is on YouTube as well. He was pitching, and he hit a bird pitching to a batter. Obviously didn't have the same effect because as good as a pitcher he may have been, he's no Randy Johnson. And I don't know what kind of pitch it was in the camera quality.
Or what kind of bird it was.
I don't know what kind of bird it was either, yeah. Or the camera quality wasn't, you know, it's not a major league game, so sure. It's not the same setup. But he did hit a bird during a pitch.
Do you think if you hit a bald eagle, it would be an act of terrorism?
That's a good question. We should get someone on the show to ask him that.
Yeah, yeah. That would be a good time to have our first guest.
Maybe call Folly up, Friends of Lake Lou Yeager, and ask them about the bald eagle.
I'm sure they have a great sense of humor about that, about hitting bald eagles.
Nobody's advocating for that, mind you. We don't want that to
happen. Except for David. David's obviously advocating.
Because I'm all about anti-bird. I love the bird. Love to eat the bird. Love the bird dead. Yes. No.
They are delicious.
Well, it depends on the bird. I've only had a select few. Chicken being one of them.
Chicken's probably the most popular.
Turkey being another.
Turkey's also a good one.
Don't know that I've had any others.
I've never had any killed by baseball, though. Someday, maybe.
I wouldn't know. I don't know how the chicken or turkey died.
I'm not even sure when turkey baseball season is. I know there's bow and arrow season and shotgun season. I don't know if baseball season is in between those two or after.
During the summer? That's what it is.
Probably during the summer.
It starts in April.
Turkey baseball season during the summer.
It starts in April. And goes through the summer. Was there anything else? Any other rare occasions you could think of?
Not really.
Be specific. It can be generic.
You know, I'm a big fan of perfect games in baseball. You know, I think that's the...
I'd love to go to one.
One of the ultimate accomplishments. You know, you don't see it very often.
Yeah.
Speaking of baseball, I hate instant replay.
Do you?
I don't like it at all. You know
why? Is there a specific reason? I know some people have different reasons. What's your reason?
I'm just okay with the umpires doing the best they can.
Okay.
You know, I don't.
That's fair.
It was good enough for the first 100-some-odd years. Yeah. You know, I understand why they're doing it. And, but, you know, I think holding them accountable and getting people off of umpires' backs is probably a good thing, but just not a fan.
Well, I feel like instant replay has actually validated umpires in a way, because when it first started, you would have thought, and I'm partially stealing this from Tim Mize, he's said this on many occasions, but you would have thought, well, these umpires are going to get the calls wrong a ton. And sure enough, replay showed that these umpires get calls right.
I don't
right.
think that.
Well, no, okay. Some may have thought then that that at first glance, umpires get bang-bang calls wrong maybe half the time.
Yeah.
And
who thinks these things?
I don't know.
These are terrible people, David.
Maybe I'm just a cynical person.
These are professional umpires. I believe that they are doing the best job. Again, umpires associations, you can contact David here at WSMI to voice your complaints.
It was nice doing the brushback while we were on there. Yeah.
You know, no, but like I said, I understand what you're saying. You know, I think it does
It showed that the umpires get the call right more times than not, anything.
Yeah, and well, and like whenever they had the game the other night, whenever Matheny got tossed for arguing balls and strikes mm-hmm. with that umpire, you know, he didn't have his best game, but he's still on balls and strikes, like on their whatever, however they measure that, it was still at like 83%. Which, you know, 90 to 96 is pretty good.
What sent him over the edge was when the umpire called timeout without anyone requesting timeout.
Well, and that's rough too, especially whenever the pitcher was still, I agree with that. The pitcher was in his windup, and that's how injuries happen.
Yeah, so. And Yadi was protecting Yadi because Yadi was probably 2 seconds from being thrown out of
sure.
the game.
Yeah, and that's reasonable. So, but yeah, like I said,
but you could hear Matheny during that argument.
Yes, you could.
They're not here to see you.
He's probably one of the few Major League Baseball managers that you can have a microphone on. During that conversation.
Yeah.
So.
Although at Wrigley Field a couple of years ago, I think he may have let some words slip. I don't know this for sure, but...
What kind of words, dude?
Some bad ones. Some ones that I can't say on here.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Even though we are an internet podcast, I'm not going to tempt it.
That's probably a good idea.
We probably should still follow the same rules of the FCC.
I don't think you necessarily have to do that, but just as, you know, since I don't get paid... for being here,
I would still like to have a job.
Yeah, I would say for your sake, for your sake, I think that's probably a good idea.
Yeah, let's just go ahead and keep it that way. Yeah. So rare events.
Yeah.
Clips. It's again in 7 years. If you want to catch it, if you missed it this time.
Yeah, I'll be.
If you feel up to it,
I'll be waiting with bated breath.
With bated, what does that even mean? Bated breath. How do you bait breath?
I'm a wordsmith.
You are a wordsmith. Don't you just wonder how some of those common turns of phrase come about or they mean?
It's all old people, dude.
That is.
It's all comes
Shakespearean
from old people.
Language. There although, I don't go. Know. If, is that Shakespearean? It might be Shakespearean. Probably not. Who knows? I don't know. Who cares? That's it for The Brushback here on WSMIRadio.com. I'm David Jenkins. That's Kyle Hirschelman. Again, follow us on Twitter at Brushback WSMI. You can follow Brushback WSMI. I don't know who it is. At Brushback WSMI.
That's our parody account.
Yeah, because we're that good.
Yeah.
Follow us on Facebook as well. You can follow us individually on Twitter at DJenkinsWSMI at JN Sports. You can read Kyle in the Journal News. His column is Center and Guard, and he covers all the area sports. Does a pretty good job. Again, tune in next week on WSMIRadio.com for The Brushback next Monday afternoon with Kyle and myself. We will see you then.